This is Hotter Than Mustafar, a Star Wars prequel trilogy fanfic, written by Emo Seezy and read by Raina Jenkins. The story is rated R and contains the pairing Padme Amidala Anakin Skywalker, Padme Amidala Obi-Wan Kenobi Anakin Skywalker, with additional tags for alternate universe, canon divergence, alternate ending for Star Wars Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith. Triad, OT3, fade to black. It's an argument that feels older than time, even though they've only been having it the last few years. Though on this particular round, Obi-Wan finally has what he hopes is an ace in the hole. I know you've never seen eye to eye, but Chancellor Palpatine is a good man. If you get rid of him and start listening to me, Obi-Wan interrupts, I'll indulge your fantasy of you, Padme, and I in a threesome. Anakin goes still. And Obi-Wan can practically see the gears whirring away in Anakin's brain before his expression changes to something greedy and possessive, and he nods in one sharp, staccato beat. Deal. Winning arguments has always made Obi-Wan feel extraordinary, but winning this particular argument feels halfway between winning a high-stakes game of Sabacc and losing a high-stakes game of Sabacc. His stomach clenches a bit, but all that shows is the put-upon look of serenity that he knows Anakin hates. Talked to Padme, did you? Anakin asks, a hint of a smirk curling at the corners of his mouth. And Obi-Wan has to casually clear his throat before he speaks, when Anakin crowds a bit closer than he usually does, fingers brushing over the back of Obi-Wan's hand, exposed from his robes. I did, yes. Anakin gives him a fierce grin, and then throws an arm around Obi-Wan's shoulders, tucking the shorter man against his side in a possessive move. Palpatine saw you, Anakin says. And Obi-Wan feels his blood run cold at the idea that the Chancellor already knows what he's planning.
He saw me.
Well, he didn't, but one of his little spies did. Saw you leaving Padme's quarters. He felt it was his duty to tell me all about it. And I had hoped. Anakin trails off and leans in to nuzzle at Obi-Wan's temple.
You had hoped? Obi-Wan asks.
That something like this would happen, Anakin finishes, and then nips the top of Obi-Wan's ear in a way that makes his entire body go hot.
Anakin, we're in the temple, Obi-Wan reprimands quietly. And for a long moment, nothing happens.
And finally, Anakin moves away, putting just enough space between himself and Obi-Wan to appease Obi-Wan's delicate sensibilities. Which he can't wait to obliterate until Obi-Wan is a pleading, begging mess of a man.
The thought must show on his face, because Obi-Wan stares at him, looking halfway between horrified and yearning.
And Anakin lets his face go to the careful blankness that Obi-Wan had spent years teaching him. So, Anakin offers up, as casually as possible. Where are we headed?
It's a pleasant day, Obi-Wan says, equally as casual. I thought maybe we'd go to visit the Senator, since there's no pressing Jedi business to attend to.
Anakin's entire body goes hot, and he can't keep the hunger off his face, no matter how hard he tries. And he leans down to murmur into Obi-Wan's ear, a hand on Obi-Wan's shoulder to hold him steady, thinking of what it will be like to have bare skin under his hands instead of the coarse fabric of Jedi-issued robes.
Once you pass through the door to the Senator's condo, the only pressing Jedi business he'll be attending to is me. His voice is low and greedy, and Obi-Wan feels his entire body go hot and tight, and he swallows loudly, closing his eyes to grasp at a few miserly strings of the decorum and control a Jedi Master is meant to have at all times. Obi-Wan had been herded out of the temple, herded onto a transport cab, and herded to Padme's condominium in the senatorial district. He barely has time to think, doesn't know if he can, given the opportunity. And it's a shock to find himself standing in front of Padme's door. He doesn't stand there long. Anakin raises a hand to ring the bell, and the door opens before his finger makes contact. Padme Amidala standing in front of them, in a dress that's made of layers upon layers of sheer fabric that seems to have been woven from starlight. Every movement makes the layers shimmer and sigh over each other, and everyone isn't sure where to look, because 15 layers of shimmering lace mesh doesn't hide a damn thing, and her breasts are very proudly on display. It would be rude to look somewhere else. What brings the Jedi to my door? Padme purrs, stepping back to let them both in, and Anakin greets her with a kiss as the door slides shut, chuckling against her mouth. Pressing Jedi business, he tells her, and settles a strong hand on the back of Obi-Wan's neck, so he won't wander off. Padme laughs and pulls back, smoothing a hand over Anakin's chest before turning to Obi-Wan. He's handsome. Has always been handsome. Padme remembers the first time she saw him on Naboo, the way her heart had fluttered a little bit faster when he'd smiled at her the first time, dimples flashing in his cheeks. Of course, those dimples are covered up by his beard now, but it only serves to make Obi-Wan look like a dashing deep space pirate. She'd never tell him as much, as she imagines it would only embarrass the man. But it's one of her best fantasies, one she's kept a secret, even from Anakin. Hello, Obi-Wan. Padme, you look stunning this evening. He doesn't look uncomfortable, but as she's learned over the years, Obi-Wan Kenobi is a master of presenting himself the way he wants others to see him. Padme's lips curve up in a smile, and she feels powerful, beautiful, like she has the entire universe in the palm of her hand tonight. Her hands skim over the feather-soft lace of the dress, molding it to her body for a moment so it hides nothing. Obi-Wan's eyes track the trail of her hands down her body, and when he makes his way back up to her face, his own is flushed. Why, thank you, Master Kenobi of the Silver Tongue. Her voice is soft, teasing, and she moves into his space, slow and graceful. She lifts a hand, presses it against his chest, over his heart, and steps closer. Anakin moves in behind him, settling hands on Obi-Wan's hips, both to ground him and keep him there where they want him. Padme moves in for the kill. It's nice to not have to go up on her toes for a kiss. Nicer still to be on the dominating end of this kiss without having to fight for it. Obi-Wan's mouth fits well against hers, lips a touch chapped against the softness of her own, but he seems to follow direction well, parting his mouth when she flicks her tongue in a silent question over the surprising plushness of his bottom lip. Kark, you two are hotter than Mustafar, Anakin groans, from where he's plastered against Obi-Wan's back. Padme didn't exactly forget he was there, but she was a little busy fulfilling a decades-old fantasy of finally kissing Obi-Wan. She feels a little guilty and pulls back, looking up at Anakin, whose eyes are all but black with lust. Obi-Wan sucks in a breath, and it's as if the spell of Padme's dress has worn off of him. I'm surprised you remembered Mustafar was a warm planet, Obi-Wan says, voice carrying a teasing lilt, and Anakin lets out a barking laugh moments before he fists a hand in Obi-Wan's copper hair and drags his head back. There's a moment, just a moment, barely the space of a heartbeat, where Obi-Wan tenses up. And then it passes, and he is relaxed against Anakin, trusting, nearly docile. Anakin rubs his cheek against Obi-Wan's, fingers curled tight in Obi-Wan's hair, holding him in position while Padme watches, eyes dark and hungry. "Tonight," Anakin murmurs, using his hold on Obi-Wan's hair to turn his head. "Tonight, you aren't anyone's master. Least of all mine. Understand?" Obi-Wan makes a soft, needy sound that goes straight through Anakin, and he fights with himself to not simply take what he wants. Obi-Wan needs softness and pleasure and praise. "Tonight, you are just Obi-Wan. Just mine. Ours," Padme interjects. "Ours," Anakin agrees. "Just ours." He rubs his cheek against Obi-Wan's again, mouth brushing Obi-Wan's ear so he can whisper out a nearly silent, "Only mine," that makes Obi-Wan shiver against him. He knows about Obi-Wan. Knows about how he almost wasn't a Jedi. Knows that Obi-Wan doubts himself even on his best days. Knows that Obi-Wan wants to be someone's first choice. Only choice. Anakin can give him that. It's a dark, powerful thrill to know that he can give Obi-Wan what he needs, what he craves. And it lights up all the possessive parts of Anakin. He'll share Obi-Wan with Padme. Only Padme. No one else will ever have Obi-Wan the way they have him now. His mouth hovers over Obi-Wan's, teasing him with soft brushes of lip and tongue, never giving Obi-Wan more than a half second of a kiss before he's pulling away. His hand in Obi-Wan's hair keeps Obi-Wan restrained. The arm around Obi-Wan's waist keeps Obi-Wan's back pressed up tightly against Anakin's chest. Keeps Obi-Wan's arms trapped against his sides, so he's helpless against Anakin's teasing. Padme's breath hitches, and she squeezes her thighs together, fighting the urge to relieve the pressure that's building from watching Obi-Wan squirm. "Mustafar, indeed," she murmurs, and Anakin's eyes flick to hers. The end. Apa's notes. Hey guys, I'm sorry this ends so abruptly. I was in the middle of writing and my fiancé called to scream at me about Fast and the Furious 8, which she had just got out of the theater, and my brain derailed. I have a bad habit of starting fake and then forgetting about it for 6 months, so I wanted to post this and get it out there so you can all enjoy it. I welcome the screaming. Reader's notes. Okay, so porn, incredible porn, feelings in the Force, possibly, Anakin thwarting his, or not thwarting, but channeling his mania about Padme and his, like, obsessive, I must keep her safeness, like, from that direction into a I must keep Padme and Obi-Wan direction, and then sort of as this bulwark against the Chancellor's manipulations, Anakin being so focused on the two of them in a way that, like, Obi-Wan can also influence that a little bit. Basically, I feel like Anakin is going to saunter vaguely downward still in this AU. He is going to get real fucking close to the dark side, but because he's channeling it slightly different direction, it's not as easily warped by the Chancellor. So maybe Dooku doesn't get his head chopped. Maybe Dooku does get arrested and brought to the temple, and then I mean, there's probably shit goes down. Palpatine has, you know, plans on plans on plans. So the war doesn't end peacefully, but it ends differently. And all of our OT3 keep all of their limbs. And possibly they go into hiding. Possibly Dooku says something while he's being arrested and brought to the temple. And he says something like, you know, to the effect of, I can see that Anakin is falling any minute now. Blah, blah, blah. And then Obi-Wan's like, oh, fuck. That is possibly why this possessiveness feels so good. Because part of it is Anakin and part of it is because it's, like, calling to the parts of him that he doesn't usually acknowledge. Anyway, TLDR, this AU I have imagined. Plenty of people die, but it doesn't end exactly the same, and possibly the Separatists win. Because if Dooku's in jail, and then the Separatists continue to attack Coruscant and break him out, something, something, Dooku, you know, the rule of two of the Sith is that eventually the apprentice overthrows the master. Dooku chops Palpatine's head off, and then the Separatists win, and then Dooku's like, oh, fuck, now I actually have to govern this government? And then it turns into a whole political shenanigans, because Padme has also, let's see, you know what, Padme has started the Delegation of 2000 becomes sort of the, like, vassal states, I don't know, suborned into the Separatists, and then shit happens, and, I don't know, plot, I guess. And then porn, more porn. Continuing OT3, dark, deep, idfic possessiveness porn on all three of their parts, and, like, clinging, and Padme is like, no, these are mine, you can't have them, this is mine, and Obi-Wan's like, no, I need to be, I am getting the validation I deserve, and I've been craving, and you cannot have it, and it's all good times for me. Anyway, now that my readers know it's longer than the podfic, thank you for listening, I hope you enjoyed it, have a nice day.